think that one of the problems with what we get today in our Christianity, we get as much as we want. And so many times, we don't want it bad enough.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Joshua Halleck, here with Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church, in the middle of a series titled Red Hot Faith. And it's, as you would imagine, a series all about how to stoke the flames of your passion for God. And today, Pastor Mark, you're taking us into 2 Kings chapter 9, a great story about the prophet Elijah and his protege, Elisha. And what are we going to see here in Elisha's desire for a red hot faith?
You know, the big takeaway from this story, which, by the way, is an incredible story that involves mentoring and passing the mantle and acts of faith and persistence. But what strikes me today about this story is that Elijah had this desire. He really wanted it. And I think red hot faith comes to those people that really want it. Because I've entitled this message, How Bad Do You Want It? And you look at Elijah, and there's several things that tells you he wanted it bad. And I think sometimes it's not about how smart we are. It's not about how theologically astute we are. It's not always about who we hang around with. Sometimes it's really about, hey, do you really want this?
What do you say to somebody who's listening today and they feel like, yeah, you know, I want a fire for God. I want to love God, but it's just gotten too hard.
I would say this. I would say if you want it, then act on it, then pursue it. Like you need to chase after it like a dog chases after the juiciest bone. You need to go after it with all your might. I believe that we get that God honors a hunger for him, that God's looking for people that it's not like, yeah, I kind of want it. It would be nice to have it. But people that are so desperate and tenacious that they pursue it. And usually it's those people that get the zeal and the fire because they pursue it boldly.
What an encouraging thought. May this message stoke the flames of your passion for God today. It's called How Bad Do You Want It? From 2 Kings chapter 9.
For the last couple weeks, I've been talking to you about what it means to have red hot faith. What it means to have red hot faith. I mean, that kind of faith that anybody that gets close to you feels the heat of the fire. The kind of faith that, hey, when you touch it, it's like, wow, this is hot. That kind of faith. I'm talking about the kind of faith that your neighbors feel like, I feel something about this person when I'm around them. I know they love God. The kind of faith that makes you believe God for great things. The kind of faith that changes your life and the kind of faith that drives you to prayer. The kind of faith that makes you want to be in the presence of God and listen to his word and not only listen to it, but obey it. That kind of faith. And today I want you to turn in your Bibles with me to 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9 through 10 is what we're going to be looking at. And I want to talk to you about how bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? When my daughter was 3 years old, she begged me for a puppy. And I said, no, honey. Because if I get you a puppy, I'm going to take care of that puppy. I don't want you to have a puppy at 3. But I leaned down to her and I said, honey, when you're 12, because she asked me, she said, Dad, well, how old do I have to be before I can take care of a dog? And I said, honey, when you're 12 and you still want a puppy, I'll get one for you because then you'll take care of that puppy. And I made a fatal mistake. I thought she'd get over it. I thought she'd forget about it. I thought I would move on. It was just a phase, but no way. She had puppy posters in her bedroom. She got calendars with puppies. She researched the puppies. I mean, she was like, I want a puppy. So When she was going to turn 12, she reminded me over and over, "Dad, I'm turning 12. It's time for a puppy." So I felt like I was trapped. So we went out and got her a Shih Tzu puppy. I almost didn't get it because of the name. Pronunciating it was just not a good thing. I got a Shih Tzu puppy for her. And so we've had this little dog with us for, we've had this dog for 9 years now. And this little puppy, her name is Angel. She's 9 years old, so now she's heading into senior years, really, at 9 years old. And she really liked to run away a lot. She would see the door. I don't know. I think she was a little rebellious, sowing her wild oats. And she would go for the door and she would just run. And we'd have to send someone down the street to chase after her. And neighbors would bring her back. And so what we started doing is we started giving her a treat to lure her back into the house. And so when she didn't run away, she'd go out, do her business, come back. We'd give her a treat. And I added a little extra step to the treat. And I'd always have her stand on her hind legs as I gave her this treat. And I would say, up, up. And so she, even to this day, gets on her hind legs like this and I give her a treat. But I've noticed that as she's gotten older, I say treat and she just sits there like, no, give it to me. I'm like, come on, treat, treat. She just looks at me for a while. And I still can convince her most of the times to get on her back legs and get up like this and get her treat. And I tell her, how bad do you want it? Because I know if you want it bad enough, you're going to get on your hind legs and you're going to get up. But you have to want it bad enough. And in her little dog mind, I see her thinking, do I really want to go to this trouble of getting up on my hind legs like that and getting this treat? And she's evaluating, how bad do I want it? You see, like my little puppy dog, I think there's a spiritual lesson that Angel can teach us. And I think in our spiritual lives as well, I believe that God offers us some opportunities that are in His hand. But in part, He's asking you and I, hey, how bad do you want it? You say, well, does God really work like that? Like a dog with a treat? Well, maybe it's not the best illustration. But Hebrews chapter 6, in essence, tells us that. Chapter 11, verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists. You see, faith tells us, yes, God is there. I haven't seen Him. I haven't touched Him. But in my spiritual mind and in my faith eyes, I know that He is there, even though I haven't physically experienced Him with my five senses. I know that God is there. But not only does faith tell us that God is there, but our faith also tells us that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. In other words, when your faith is red hot, you not only know that God is there and present, but your red hot faith drives you to seek God, knowing that God rewards those that diligently, earnestly chase after Him. I believe that God is looking to see, how bad do you really want me? How bad do you really want to be used by me? I mean, how eager are you for my presence? I see it throughout the Old Testament and I see it throughout the New Testament that those people that sought after God eagerly, diligently, that pressed through, that God would always show up for them that were eager. I see it in the woman with the issue of blood that presses through the crowd to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. And she's pressing and she's pushing. And she finally reaches through and she touches them. And I think that God, the faith The power of Jesus was released in her. Why? Because she wanted it bad enough. I think of Moses, who God is saying, I'm not going to go with you. I'm tired of your people. If I go, I just might open up the ground and swallow them. I am ticked at this people, how hard-hearted they are. And Moses says to God, but God, if you don't go with us, I don't want to go. If your presence doesn't go with us, why should I go? And then Moses says to God, God, show me your glory. Like, I want to see you. I want more of you. And God manifests himself because Moses was hungry for more of God. I love the heart of Peter. Jesus is out on the water. All the disciples are like, wow, is that a ghost? Or who is that walking on the water? And Peter wants more. And Peter says, hey, can I go out on the water? He's hungry and he's eager. You see, throughout all of Scripture, I see that the heart of God responds to people that are diligent, that are earnest, that want it bad enough. I think that one of the problems with what we get today in our Christianity is what we get as much as we want. And so many times, we don't want it bad enough. And so I want to take you to 2 Kings because I believe there's some people here that God is stirring up your heart. There's something inside of your spirit saying, I want to be used of God bad. I want more of the presence of God bad. I'm hungry for more than just mediocre spirituality. I'm hungry for more of God. There's something stirring up in my heart that says, I want it bad, God. I want it so bad, I'm willing to seek it diligently. I'm ready to go to the next level. And I want you to see today how God honors people that really seek after God with a fervency. In 2 Kings chapter 2, there's a story about one of the most powerful prophets that was ever to walk on the face of this earth. His name was Elijah. Elijah is mentioned in Scripture both in the Old Testament and New Testament as this incredible man of God. He appears to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. When John the Baptizer started preaching, they said, he's coming in the spirit of Elijah. He resurrected the dead. He parted the waters. He prayed and it didn't rain for 3 days. I mean, this man walked with God in some incredible, powerful anointing. God spoke to him in ways that were very unusual. He was a man of faith. He was a man that did not experience death like most people experience death.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message called How Bad Do You Want It?, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Red Hot Faith. After tonight's broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. His message, How Bad Do You Want It?
He was one of the few in Scripture that was, the Scripture tells us that he was taken up in the whirlwind with chariots of fire around him. I mean, this was an unusual person. But Elijah had an apprentice by the name of Elijah. He was a farm boy. When he found Elijah, Elijah was plowing dirt with a couple of oxen. He wasn't super educated. He wasn't necessarily super talented. But he was a man that had a heart after God. And so he called them from plowing the ground into service of God. And I want you to notice what verse 9 and 10. For 9 years or so, we don't know exactly the time frame, but most scholars believe it was 7 to 9 years. Elijah became the luggage bearer, the servant, the behind-the-scenes guy for Elijah, the man of God. He calls him to follow him. He says, come, be my apprentice. We don't hear of any miracle. He doesn't speak. He doesn't preach. We don't hear him praying. We don't hear him. We hear nothing about him for 7 or 8 years. And then suddenly, Scripture says that Elijah's time to go had come. And suddenly we hear of Elijah again, the apprentice. And in verse 9 and 10, when Elijah, the prophet, is about to go, he asks a question of his apprentice. I want you to see it with me. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. And when they had crossed, they crossed the Jordan River, Elijah said to Elijah, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Hey, you've served me for 8, 9 years. What is it that you want me to give you? What is it that you want me to do for you before I go?" Here's what Elijah says. "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." Wow. That's a pretty bold request. He is telling his mentor, "You know what you've done? How you've preached? You know the miracles that you've done? You know all this leading, how God has used you? I want to do double what you have done. I want a double portion of your spirit. I am hungry to be used of God. I don't want to just do what they've done in the past. I want to do more. I want a double portion of your spirit." Elijah, the prophet, the old aging prophet, he looks at him and he says to him, "You have asked a difficult thing." Now, here's what I want you to understand. I'm going to tell you what red hot faith does for us. I believe that some in this auditorium, your heart has been stirred up to be used of God in ways that maybe you have never been used of God before. And I believe that the question that God is asking some of you today is, how bad do you really want it? How bad do you really want my presence? How bad do you really want to be used by me? How bad do you want to make an impact for my kingdom and my glory? How bad do you really, really want it? Because if you want it bad enough, there's a price to pay. If you want it bad enough, God is always looking for men and women that he can pour out on, that he can throw his power into, but he's looking for men and women that want it bad enough. Amen? So if you're taking notes today, I want you to jot this down. Red hot faith triggers big desire to be used of God. That faith will lead you. I believe it leads you to three things. Number one, red hot faith will lead you, write this down, to tenacious persistence. When we say someone that's tenacious, that means that they are aggressive about hanging on to something, that they do not give up, that they're not easily dissuaded. They're like a bulldog that gets a hold of something and they will not let go because they are hanging on. I believe that faith, sometimes we think that faith is just believing God in the moment. But I believe that true faith always leads to strong perseverance. Faith isn't just to believe God for a miracle on the moment. Faith also leads you to persevere when things are hard. It leads you to hang on to things when they're tough to hang on to. It leads you to doggedly grab onto something that you know is of God and say, "I will not let go because I know this is of God. I will be tenacious about it." Listen what happens here. And anytime you're used of God and you want it bad enough, people will try to talk you out of it. In fact, the best thing that can happen to some of us that want to be used of God, that want to go to the next level, is that the people around us try to talk us out of it. I remember when I was just with that spark in my eye, little experience, never having done much for God. And the door of opportunity opened for me to come and pastor here in the city of Chicago, this little church of about 18 people. And I remember I was all excited about it. I was pumped up about it. Like, yeah, I'm going to go there. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to lead people to Jesus. This is going to be great. It's going to be good. So I went to the pastor of the church that I was attending, and I said, hey, a door has opened up. I think I'm going to be able to go and pastor, and it's a little congregation, but I'm going to preach. I'm super excited about it. And you know what happened? He wasn't excited about it. He just kind of stood there and looked at me. I thought he would say, great young man, go get him, Tiger. I thought he was going to say, hey, I'm going to pray for you. Man, praise God you responded to the call of God. You know, instead he sat behind his desk, put his hand on his chin. And I'll never forget what he said. He said to me, the city chews up and spits out pastors left and right. You better be sure you're called. I kind of walked out of the office and said, wow. What do I do with that? Chews up and spits out pastors left and right? I talked to another mentor of mine, and I felt like he tried to talk me out of it. You see, here's the thing. If you can be talked out of a pursuit of God, if you can be talked out of a calling, if you can be talked out of a walk of faith, if you can be talked out or dissuaded from it, if you can be turned back from it, then chances are you're not ready for it, because if someone can talk you out of it, it's probably that you don't want it bad enough. If someone can discourage you out of it, it's probably that you're not hungry enough to pay the price for it. Are you hearing me? Because this is really, really important. Notice what Elijah, the mentor, did to his apprentice. The Bible tells us that in verse 1 of chapter 2, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind. Not many people have died that way, gone to heaven in a whirlwind. And it seems to know that Elijah knew he was going to be taken that way. It says, Elijah and Elisha were on their way to Gilgal, and Elijah tells his apprentice Elijah, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel. He says, hey, I'm going to go on. Why don't you just stay here? It's kind of tough where I'm going. He tries to talk him out of following him. He tries to discourage him from moving on. And I want you to see what Elijah says. Elijah said, as surely as the Lord lives and as I live, I will not leave you. And so they go on to Bethel. In verse 3, the company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elijah and asked, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Elijah said, yes, I know. So be quiet. Then Elijah said to Elijah, his apprentice, the second time, stay here, Elijah. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. He tries to talk him out of it again. Hey, aren't you tired? You don't want to go on this journey. It's long. You need to stay here. He tries to talk him out of it. And listen, this is, Elijah says, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went on to Jericho. This is the second time he's tried to talk him out of following him. The third time, listen. Then it says, so the company of the prophets at Jericho went to Elijah and asked him, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master away to get today? He said, yes, he said, so be quiet. Then Elijah said to him, stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he replied, as sure as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So the two went on their way. Wait, are you seeing what's happening here? The mentor is trying to talk the apprentice out of following him.
This concludes the first half of Pastor Mark's message called How Bad Do You Want It?, which is from our current series called Red Hot Faith. Join us again on the next Straight Talk for more of this message. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.